Good morning. My name is Noe Crespo. I feel overdressed. my VDA endorsement is this. When I was applying to doctoral programs and I got accepted to San Diego State, one of the actually top things on the list as to why I accepted to come was for the opportunity to work in these kinds of programs in Mexico. I'm going to present to you today, this morning, a pretty novel and unique program. In fact, it's so novel that our co-investigator, Dr. Miguel Fraga from UABC, when he shares this project with other colleagues of his that were working with Mexican indigenous children, fifth and sixth graders, family planning program, they're quite surprised. No disclosures, no relationship. So I'm going to give you some background that is pertinent to this specific project. I think from the previous presentations, now you have a pretty good idea of the demographics of this community. What we know is that indigenous populations in Mexico are not a negligible percent of the population. It's almost 13%. And we also know that there are several health disparities in these populations. In fact, the infant mortality rate is quite high compared to the national. And what we also know is that the trends in terms of family size have been changing. In fact, the average number of children in the last 30 years has gone from about 6 to 2 for women in Mexico. But other research has shown that among indigenous communities, that number is still high. So in this graph, you show that the trend is going down throughout the years. And the lines that stay consistently higher are those from those states that have a large indigenous populations. Now, we also know from other studies that the age at which some of these populations engage in sexual activities varies by between urban and rural areas. And specifically, those in the rural areas initiate sexual activity at a younger age. And we know that early childbearing is associated with several social and economic problems. And that leads us to basically our rationale and our model. In this figure, you'll see that, and it's not surprising to even point out that a 14-year-old would have many siblings. And then what I'm going to show you here is what happens when we have a 14-year-old indigenous girl that is surrounded by all these social factors. And they may come from a family of 10, she may end up having around the same number. We kind of see that, really. And what that happens then is then she'll give birth to another generation that basically inherits all these factors. And our goal is to kind of focus on something. And here, in this case, we know that there are several modifiable social factors that we can work with. But given the evidence, we think that we can make an impact if we can try to impact family size. And we think that if we can reduce family size, it might actually alleviate some of the social factors. And, of course, this is really related to competition of resources, bigger family. You can argue sometimes that a bigger family might also be helpful if they all contribute to income, but at the same time, that's also more mouths to feed. Now, this project has been fortunate to receive grant support, and that's why we've been able to do a lot, and also in a very short period of time. And what I'll be presenting you today is the results, the data from a feasibility project that we conducted. And the Bixby project is composed of several members. In the UABC side, we have psychologists that are working with us, physicians, and also public health students and health promotion students. And they are focusing on the more direct contact with the participants. At the San Diego State side, we, including myself, we also have physician, epidemiologist, health behavior faculty, and we're more of the administrative side, submitting the grants, IRB approvals, and so on. And in San Quintin, the school director is the person who's really been the key person that has helped us get access to the population. Now, we first conducted a needs assessment and with IRB approval. And what we found that when we surveyed 160 indigenous women in Descolonia, several, actually more than we would expect, married pretty young. And they also gave birth fairly young. And on average, about 4 children. And if you see here, what's kind of alarming is really the range from 0 to 12. 24% never use birth control. And so what this spurred is now, we wanted now to ask the community, what do they think about these numbers? And so they told us, well, we actually think that we need a sexual health education program. And what was surprising is who they told us we should target. So it's basically right before they're going to start initiating sexual activity. So again, remember, this is the community telling us this. And they also suggested we utilize the peer health educator model, the promotor model. So we're going to be using children to teach other children. The short-term objectives are to increase sexual health knowledge, change the social norms that are related to family size, change some of the attitudes about engaging in early sexual activity. And the long-term goals eventually would be to have an effect on ages of sexual debut and family size. The design is a quasi-experimental design, so no randomization. The intervention school, we first focused on fifth graders, and this is just for feasibility purposes. And then we selected and identified a control school that is about 2 miles from the intervention school with very similar demographics. And the children engaged in a 3-month peer sexual health education program, and then we evaluated some of the data at the end. In the intervention, it consisted of 8 fifth and sixth grade promotores. They conducted one-on-one sessions with their peers. The goal was 2 to 3 for them to train or teach 2 to 3 of their peers a month for about a total of 16 among them. Each lesson was about 30 minutes, and they were given an extensive training. And some of the materials they used are visual aids, models, penis models, condoms, and they were also given some written materials. And what they did is it had several aspects to it. They discussed common STDs, some of the health consequences. They were shown visual aids and taught about male and female anatomy. They also practiced appropriate condom use, discussed pros and cons about early sexual debut, and about having a small family. And in terms of monitoring, the teachers actually were the ones that were helping us monitor the progress that they were making. So they generated report slips that told us who they trained, for how long, and we have these data for all the trainings. And also the teachers were involved with giving follow-up to some of these trainings. The director as well was involved in this, and the psychologists, our psychologists maintain fairly frequent communication with the teachers to monitor the progress. So in one of the VDI trips, we selected 8 fifth and sixth graders. Our psychologist provided about a 1.5-hour training, and these are the topics that were covered in this training sessions. In another VDI trip, we now started working with a survey. And the survey included demographics, knowledge, and perception questions, among others. And then we pilot tested this survey, ran some focus groups, made several modifications, and this is what we used to implement in the evaluation. We attained parent and child assent before doing this evaluation, and our intervention was 46 children, and the control was 22 that participated in this. And that's kids. So these are the results. Keep in mind that small sample size, primarily for feasibility purposes, but here, just for us to get an understanding of what's going on, some of the ranges, if they're understanding the questions as well. And what we see here, in terms of demographics, no apparent differences between intervention and control school. But one thing I do want to highlight is, again, this is the participants, the fifth graders, reporting to us this information. And the range of total number of siblings, it's pretty wide. And there were no, I went through that one too fast. Also no apparent differences in other sort of SES kinds of questions or proxies of those. Now, getting into knowledge. So we asked them several questions and also open-ended items where just tell us how many names do you know about male reproductive anatomy, female reproductive anatomy. And what you see here is the p-values, well, they're not significant. We're going to ignore those. But what's important here is the ranges. What we see here is that, in a way, it's kind of consistent in the intervention that they're doing a little bit better. So here the ranges in the control group are a little bit more narrow and on the lower side. And now here are the perceptions questions. We ask them, at what age do you think it's appropriate to begin having sex? And what we see here is that the intervention is a little higher, so kind of promising. And what we see here in these other two items is this one's kind of the bullseye, I think, for this study, where we say, we asked how many children do you think is sufficient for a family? And we're seeing some evidence of some effect, so we might be onto something here, 2 compared to 3. And age too soon to be having sex, so the intervention school seems to be indicating that older is still too soon. These are kind of add-ons, and this was also for us to get an idea of what did they perceive was going on among their peers. So when we asked them, do you know of any child your age who was having sex? Between the intervention and control, three indicated that they did know someone. And we asked, well, if you don't know someone, do you think some kids of your age are having sex? Total of 15 said yes. Well, now to conclude, if you remember, this is a feasibility study. So what we found was that the project was very well received. The teachers were involved, director was involved, parents are now going to be involved. And from the slips that we received from the teachers, all promotores met their goal of educating another peer, the goal that we gave them. So it's very feasible in terms of them applying and conducting the intervention. Now what we are doing is actually are now working with internet-based communications. With a webcam, our psychologist is now going to communicate and kind of follow up on their trainings with each promotor via a webcam. We also are still now implementing cell phone communications with the children directly. We're looking for some software that might be able to help us also use this and add it into the curriculum. But it's been difficult to find some that we can use. In terms of sustainability, we are going to add more parent involvement and also teacher involvement. So what's the next phase? We are now going to conduct another intervention now that we know that it's feasible. And now we're going to start kind of clean. And we're going to conduct baseline assessments, follow them up, and now compare pre and post. I'd like to acknowledge specifically also the Bigsby Foundation, which provided the support, several of the institutions. And that's us and some of the promotores. Thank you.
Well, a big hand to all the presenters. We had five presenters. Most sessions usually have four, and they did a pretty good job of staying on time. So we're going to have some good time for questions and answers, and we'll take questions, comments. Anyone? Please.
Certainly some acknowledge.